Stallone made almost all bad movies, but he's from my childhood.
Do we want to go down that wormhole? Because I'll go down a Stallone wormhole with you. To the Lazy Muse Podcast, episode number 8. I am Eric Gratton.
And I'm Jimmy G.
And today we are taking a slight step back from our in-depth coverage, episode by episode, of the show that Jimmy calls...
The Game of Thrones.
The Game of Thrones. And today we are going to do our patented summer movie preview. This is the summer of 2013, and I would like to welcome our 1,000,000th listener to the podcast, which is clearly going to happen with this one. And I would like to say hello to the year 2017.
When we have five.
What's it like up there? That's my 1,000,000th listener.
Now listen, this is the summer movie preview, but let's say this is a seasonal movie preview, because we're going to be here.
Oh, yeah, we are.
You.
Yeah, we are.
Every season's lineup of movies and TV shows that you need to be watching out for, or maybe you need to avoid.
Oh, yeah. No, there'll be a few. We don't speak from experience. We don't know you need to avoid these, but, oh, my God, they're clearly going to be terrible.
Most likely.
So, yeah, goodbye. So we're starting here. The two of us are here on May 14th, smack in the middle of the beginning of the summer movie season.
Yep. A few of them have already been released, already out there. We have Oblivion and Iron Man 3. Eric and I happen to have just seen Oblivion. And this movie is oblivious?
Yeah, it's okay. You know.
Meh.
It takes... I was listening to... Or actually reading a tweet from one of my favorite movie podcasters right here in Seattle named Laramie.
Laramie? Wyoming town?
Different, I believe. Okay. I don't know. It might be from there. Laramie Lagle is his name. And he and his partner do the Rope of Silicon podcast from right here in the great city of Seattle, Washington.
The Emerald City.
Yes.
Rain City, USA.
And he said that it stole from various sci-fi kind of classics,
absolutely.
You know, but in all the best ways. And I would say it stole from the different movies than he pointed out, and in mostly the worst ways. I think
What did he say it stole from?
I don't remember. I'll look it up as we talk. I don't remember.
From my the first thing that stands out is it stole from 2001, because all the computers, or a lot of the computers you see, have a big red eye.
Oh, yeah. No, the big red eye is necessary.
So we have Al.
Hal.
Hal.
With an, because it has a fucking H in it.
It has a fucking H.
Yeah, I think it stole from that, certainly. I think there's a lot of just about every end of the world... you know, it's got a bunch of Logan's Run with the books and Fahrenheit 451, and
yeah.
It's got...
It's so into burning stuff, though. Like, books aren't bad.
Well, yeah, but no, Logan's Run wasn't about that. It was just yeah, I did. You know.
The book burning.
Yeah.
No. That's...
I agree.
People might go and watch and go,
but it's the same as that and the Thought Police bullshit. You know, you get 1984 in Brazil, right. And you get all these in there.
Total Recall.
Sure, there's a bunch of Total Recall in there. There's some Minority Report in there, of course, because they have the same dwarf lead actor.
right.
And does anybody walk in platform shoes better than Tom Cruise?
Not
in his generation.
Not even women.
No.
I mean, this guy knows how to walk, wear pumps.
Yeah. That said, that said again. Beautiful cinematography. Great images, fun stuff. You know, before we see Morgan Freeman, and it's clear who he's going to be right away. I don't know why they decide they need to hide him from us. Yeah. Before we see him, all I could think of, oh, this is where the sand people come from.
I didn't even think about that. It's the sand people. You're absolutely right.
It's the sand people. The way they dress, the way they sound. Yeah.
Like their costume, everything. Yeah. I mean, this is just a borrowed movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, the best thing I can say is it's an homage.
I can't say that.
No?
It's not an homage. No. No.
But, you know.
What I said after we finished watching it is what I want to happen. And I've written some bad sci-fi screenplays, but I knew they were bad.
Right.
This one needs to know it's bad.
They didn't go anywhere further than your hard drive.
Right. They did, because they're bad. That's all anybody wants to produce is bad screenplays. Yeah. What needs to happen is for the next classic to be produced. And there are damn few classic sci-fi movies.
Right. Or fantasy.
And they kind of stopped happening around 1983.
Like
77 to 83, you had a great run. You know, you had Star Wars, you had Alien, you had...
I'm getting deja vu. Is this an article?
Yeah, this is one of the articles I wrote. It mentioned this era.
Right.
You know, you had Raiders of the Lost Ark, you had Tron, The mm-hmm. Thing, mm-hmm. Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Right.
I think I already said Alien, Empire Strikes Back. You know, you had a ton of amazing movies in this 6-year period. And then, you know, what's happened since? You know, some fun movies, some okay movies. Matrix is possibly a classic. The first Matrix is possibly a classic. But that's, you know, it's rare. It's rare. And this isn't there. Oh, me too.
And part of it's because you really are like, you know, one of these bums on the beach with a metal detector. You every once in a while, you hit the cash. But usually, you're just out getting some sun. Because
and bottle caps. You get a lot of bottle caps.
There's a lot of, you know, detritus out there, and not much treasure.
My mouth is full. Talk for a second.
Yeah, I got plenty to say here. I went to this movie one because we go to the movie before 12.
Oh, the good old South Center discount.
It's cheap, and I like the Tom Cruise vehicle. And Tom Cruise, I put in that category the same as like Nicolas Cage. He does what he does well. There's one thing he does, and when he does that thing, it's really good.
You know, I have to comment on that comparison.
Please.
I have to. I think it's both fair and completely misleading. It's completely fair because by no means can you assume quality.
Yes.
You cannot assume quality.
You can't assume quality.
But I think it's fair to assume by virtue of just the law of averages that Tom Cruise's vehicle is better than Nick Cage vehicle. But you can also... The trouble with that is that the best of Nicolas Cage is by far
better
than the best of Tom Cruise.
Because when Nicolas Cage taps into that character,
mm-hmm.
he becomes an actor.
Yeah, you get Raising Arizona.
Raising Arizona, you get Birdie.
Yeah, you get Fast Times at Ridgemont High, where he's not a big character, but he's great.
Right, Sean Penn being funny.
Yes, I missed that.
So, yeah,
although, have you seen the episode of Ellen, guest starring Sean Penn and Emma Thompson?
But I saw all of his Friends episodes.
He's quite a funny man.
Yeah, he is.
Even, I'm ashamed to say, I have seen this episode more than once. His very brief guest turn on 2.5 Men with none other than Elvis Costello.
Oh, listen.
Playing themselves.
You want to hear a small world story?
I love small world stories.
My one of my professors at the aforementioned
University of Wyoming. Which professor?
His name is Bill Downs.
Okay, I don't know him. I know Larry and two Lees.
Larry is retired. Larry Hazlett.
Oh, is he?
Technical director.
A fantastic designer.
The two Lees are Lee Selting.
Terrific.
Now head of the department.
I know.
Acting. Lee Hodgson, who
yes.
is still there, and he. He's the head of the
costume department. Lee Hodgson directed me in a one-man show, and Lee Selting was the stage manager of my very last non-equity contract.
Wow.
In the summer of 2001.
But he ran it like an equity show.
But no, it was an equity show. I was non-equity in it.
Even university productions he runs as, with equity rules.
Oh, he's
get a sense of what it's like
he's to be a pro.
Professional actor. But
terrific fight choreographer as well.
Bill Downs. Mm-hmm. Used to be known as Bill Strebe.
Well, sure.
And Bill Strebe is one of the writers for Two and a Half Men.
Oh, and he was one of your professors.
And he was one of my professors after he got tired of
Do you have some inside dope on what they're going to do after they jettison Angus?
No, what are you talking about?
Angus is leaving. Angus is in the den of sin and will no longer be there.
Hold on, let's just back up here.
All right.
This is a story
of Two and a Half Men. Oh, okay.
This isn't as bad as me confusing Eugene O'Neill with Neil Simon.
That's pretty bad, though. Actually, that's just awesome.
But it's close. Okay. Especially since I saw A Long Day's Journey with Vanessa Redgrave, Brian Dennehy, and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And,
so I know this guy's place.
And?
I forget the other guy.
John?
The guy who kills himself in Dead Poets Society.
Okay, we'll just move on. Yes.
Anyways.
I saw that too. Fantastic production. Best performance I've ever seen in my life was Philip Seymour Hoffman in that.
Yes.
Moving on. Keep going. How dumb are you?
I was actually talking about My Two Dads.
Oh, were you? My Two Dads and Two and a Half Men.
Not
deserve a crossover.
But, so my professor was...
Paul Reiser would be an awesome replacement for Angus T. Jones.
He was a writer for...
and he's available.
My Two Dads. And, you know, so he left because he was a playwright.
My Two Dads. All right, sorry, continue.
That was a show.
Yes, no, yes.
He wrote for that.
80s non-classic.
Well, it was a pretty big hit.
Yes, that doesn't make it a classic.
He, you know, made a ton of money.
So did whatever that Olsen Twins movie about being lost in New York.
Oh, right, but the tie-in here is just like us.
Yes.
You know, we're actors, and yes. We would do one of these dumb shows.
Oh, in a heartbeat, for a discount.
Questioning, just because it's work, and you know, you can buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
And he left because he was done with that part of his life. He wanted to become, you know, he was a playwright, and he couldn't be taken as a playwright because they literally told him, "You're a TV writer.
Right.
You're not allowed to write plays." Is what they told him. So he
well, it's a different time.
He started teaching, and you know, 10 years later, 12 years later, he's found this fantastic resurgence as a playwright.
Good.
His plays now are finally being appreciated, finally being produced. The exit interview is being done literally all over the world. I mean, this guy is...
Literally.
He's literally on the road more than he is at the University of Wyoming because his play is being done so much from Vienna...
That's awesome.
...to all over the United States. So, I mean, that's my little...
Well, it's good to see someone coming from TV to the theater.
But we weren't.
It's good to see someone coming from TV to the theater as opposed to the opposite.
Right. Like,
there's a huge...
Which in England,
huge,
it's commonplace. In America, it's...
No, here it's... Once you are a good playwright, you immediately bolt to Hollywood so you can make some money and raise a family.
Before we really jump into our summer movie preview...
Oh, is that what we're doing?
Let's talk about our... episode beer.
We have to, because the thing is, we just recorded our episode 7 interview with 40 ounces of a 7.8 alcohol by volume beer. So while you can still understand us, we're going to talk about the ones we're doing right now. I have started off, I brought two rogue beers from the great state of Oregon.
Yeah.
And I brought right the classic Rogue Dead Guy Ale, which you've all had. Terrific. I brought a bottle of that and one that I hadn't seen before, which Jimmy is starting out with. And tell us about that one, Jimmy.
This is also from Rogue, and it is a Chipotle Ale.
How do you feel about it?
I like it.
Yeah?
It's got this really interesting aftertaste, and it's not hot like I would think a Chipotle is, which our friend Brent Boyce, who I
always
commonly
makes...
mistake as...
Brienne from Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. But she just called somebody out on Facebook for mispronouncing.
And the Twitter,
Chipotle.
I believe. Yes. It's not Chipotle, people.
Yeah, Chipotle, people. It's got a really interesting aftertaste. I dig it. It's not spicy. It's kind of a weedy taste almost. Hold on, let me get a little taste here.
Beer with a wheat taste? That's crazy.
Mm, yeah. Hoppy, but not IPA hoppy. And it does have a lingering aftertaste. And again, I don't get the chipotle. Nothing spicy like I would associate with that word. But it's enjoyable. This might even be a session beer, meaning you can have two or three of these.
Well, I look forward to it. And, I'll let you know if he's full of shit or not after I get the rest of that.
Lovely bottle. What I gotta say here is I was a hard transplant to this town. I mean,
yes.
I wasn't born and raised in New York City, but I felt like a New Yorker.
Sure.
I absolutely adored living in Astoria, Queens. And it's been a hard transition for me living in this dreary-ass town. but one of the two great things that I love about it, other than being here with my girls, is I can run year-round because it doesn't ever get that cold. And two, the Pacific Northwest is where the resurgence of local beer reemerged. America was a big brewery country at the beginning. After Prohibition, that went away. And it didn't come back until the 70s. And when it did come back, the Pacific Northwest is where it came back.
I would say that and the Rockies. I would say...
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. But it started here, and it filtered down there. Like wildfire. You go to Denver, and you're going to find a dozen. I mean, the town where I went to undergrad in Laramie, Wyoming, had 5 microbreweries.
Sure.
New York City doesn't have 5 microbreweries.
Sure, but Kansas City does.
Right, you know, but I mean, that's...
I'm sure it happened here first. I'm sure.
But, I mean, this is what they're known for here. And they have a ton of great beers. Oregon, right neck and neck with them.
Yes.
This is one of them.
Well, I had a less tough time coming up here because I left New York not because I didn't love it, but because I hated it. No, I mean, yes, that's why I'm here. But I left New York because I thought that, give me another 3 years there, and I was kind of so miserable that I figured I'd either be dead or like 900 pounds. So I left New York for various reasons. I left L.A. because I fell in love with somebody who lives up here.
Oh, right.
And that's
right.
Great.
You'd already moved. That's right.
I had. But what made Seattle so awesome as a place to move is it is a big enough town that it's kind of film and theater communities are big enough that, you can deal with it. The communities I'm finding are pretty closed, but right. As I meet people, it's more and more easily entered.
Yes.
Yes. And the other thing is that Boulevard Brewing Company from scenic Kansas City, Missouri, which is the most kind of widely enjoyed beer in that part of the world, has now, around the time that I moved up here, started sending its beer here.
Right.
When I was growing up, it was Kansas, okay. Missouri, right. Iowa, Nebraska. They didn't send
it
anywhere else.
Now it's a macro.
Well, now the first two places they went were Oregon and Washington. Right. So the first times I've ever seen it at a grocery store or on tap were in the great city of Seattle, Washington.
This part, the NORPAC.
Is that what we call it?
That's what I call it. I love to ghetto everything that I can.
All right.
The NORPAC is, we look for non-traditional beers.
Look, he's even saying we.
We.
He don't give a shit about New York. He's fucking lying.
Listen, man, I actually stop at crosswalks now.
I know. That's the terrifying thing. I do, too.
I stop at crosswalks.
I do, too.
I'm so ashamed.
I let people merge.
I'm so ashamed.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You're no Dan Schultz. That motherfucker gets back to New York like 12 times a year.
I know. But he's a teacher.
Yeah.
So Iron Man 3. You've seen this.
I have. I have. It is out.
Early summer.
I wrote about that.
Release? You did.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Iron Man in the movies is right now, that's 4 movies, including the Avengers.
Right.
That's the 4 best Spider-Man movies ever made.
It's funny, but tell me what you mean.
Thank you. And I will. Tony Stark is not a huge smartass. He's not in the comic books. He's witty, sure, but mostly he's just a drunk genius.
So he is drunk, at least, in the comic books.
Yeah, no, that's a issue he's dealt with for the last 40 years.
Don't drink and fly your suit.
Your Iron Man suit. But the wit that Robert Downey Jr. brings with his directors and screenwriters is really terrific. And it's something that hasn't been in evidence in very many comic book movies. They've tried to be funny, but it's always like stupid, sophomoric, right, ridiculous humor, not wit and timing. Right. And what this has is wit and timing. And the two comic book characters that I most associate with that are Spider-Man and Deadpool. And every Spider-Man movie has completely missed on the funny. Completely missed on the funny.
Yeah, there hasn't been even good Spider-Man movie, really.
So while Tony Stark is not that in the comic books, I welcome the movie version. It's great. And this movie is even more that. It breaks all my rules. It breaks all my rules. There's a kid with a huge part. I don't want kids in my comic book movies.
Mm-hmm. But he does okay.
He's great. It's the third in a trilogy, so it's gotta suck.
Right.
And it doesn't.
And it doesn't.
No. They replaced one of the great actors from the first one in Terrence Howard with...
Right. But that was because he was being a big asshole.
I guess. I don't know. I wouldn't care.
Yeah, the second one. He wanted too much money.
No, I know. So, what, too much money in a $150 million budget thing?
But
fuck that. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Listen, I'm not saying they don't have enough, but, you know, whatever.
No, I'm not there.
Who did they replace
him with? I'm going to believe the studio heads about how all that goes down. No.
All I'm saying is who they replace him with.
Don Cheadle, fantastic, fantastic man with a lot of ties to my native Kansas City. I have no complaint about that, but I am curious as to what Terrence Howard would have brought to James Rhodes.
But, you know, whatever. Don Cheadle, I'll take him any day.
Yeah. No, and he's terrific. They changed up some of the things in the comic books. The Iron Patriot, instead of being Norman Osborn, is Jim Rhodes, and it didn't come around the same way, but it was used really well. And I won't get too into what they did with the villain in the movie, except to say that I loved it, and I thought it was really done incredibly well. Right. Ben Kingsley is one of three actors who play villainous parts and is named as the Mantis, who is one of the big baddies in the history of Marvel Comics.
And we don't get too lost in the exposition with
three
baddies?
No, they do it very well.
Okay.
You are introduced to the idea of Advanced Idea Mechanics, which is one of the huge terrorist groups, along with Hydra and,
IDM.
A-I-M. Jimmy can't spell.
I
said you can't smell. You can't smell good. So it's a lot of stuff taken directly from the comic books. But what I thought was most interesting in this movie was the use of Pepper Potts as portrayed by Gwyneth Paltrow,
right,
both the most loved and hated celebrity in the world.
My wife hates this.
I know. I have never been a huge fan of her as an actor, but she's given some really terrific performances. I wish that all famous actors would mostly shut up. I don't mind when they
talk. Don't start a blog for everyday people.
Right. I don't mind at all when they talk about art or politics, because art is politics and they are artists. I don't
right.
mind that
yeah,
at all.
I don't mind that.
I mind with regard to I don't want to know what anybody does with their personal life.
Right.
Anyway.
And don't speak to how everyday people should shop for $600
t-shirts. Well, yeah, but, you know, she, like many people in her position, don't know what everyday people do. And that's fine.
Says, she goes on to Chelsea Handler and talk about how cellulite is avoidable.
Yeah, I know. I'm not here to talk about that. I don't care what the hell she does with that stuff. What I want to talk about is how the writer and director... whose previous work with Robert Downey Jr. was the terrific movie Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And I thought he was a really incredibly interesting choice to direct this. Wrote a character in Pepper Potts that is much closer to what it is in the comic book. My only complaint about the early Iron Man stuff is the use of this character. Gwyneth Paltrow is far too fucking famous to be playing a character that appears for 2 seconds and screams and I need help. She's distractingly famous for a character like that.
Good point.
With this one, they finally give her stuff to do. Pepper Potts in the comic book is incredibly strong, very smart, very equal in...
But not superhero-like.
In the comic book, she has been a superhero. Yes. Yes. Very much so. And so it's cool to see their admission, you know, that she's worth treating as a real character. And that's what I liked most about the movie. Well, anyway, I recommend it. It's worth seeing. Don't bother with the 3D or the IMAX. Just see it in a big screen and you're fine.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I haven't seen it yet because my wife actually wants to see this movie.
Good.
One of the few action movies she's interested in because she does enjoy Robert Downey Jr.
Who doesn't?
Which I'm happy to say, I'm glad this guy turned his life around. Because there was about 15 years ago where I literally was
he was Charlie Sheen.
Going to OD.
He was Charlie Sheen.
And be dead. So I'm glad he turned himself around because ever since Chaplin, or I have to take that back, ever since Less Than Zero, this guy proved that he was worth. He had some acting.
Back to School, man.
I don't remember him in Back to
School. Oh, you're kidding me. Yeah. Right?
I mean, we're talking Rodney Dangerfield.
Yes, we are. Innocent. Yes, we are. And Robert Downey the Jr.
Wow.
Shane Black is the writer-director of this, and I think it's worth saying his name out loud.
So,
he's the writer of such things as Lethal Weapon, the whole franchise, Last Boy Scout, and the Monster Squad, which I know my buddy Ted Welch will.
Get a dog.
But I know my buddy Ted Welch will appreciate that he also wrote The Monster Squad, Wolfman Got Nards. It's worth mentioning. I'm going to forget that he wrote Last Action Hero. And The Long Kiss Goodnight is also his, which I have not seen. But my girlfriend is very adamant that she will show me this movie. She loves it.
What's his name? Sam.
Sam Jackson.
Sam Jackson.
Now, he's writing right now a screenplay called Doc Savage, which for other comic book fans will find that interesting. I don't think my words made sense there. But Doc Savage is a character.
Is this Spider-Man?
No. He's in Spider-Man every once in a while, but he's mostly a Hulk character. He's a Dr. Leonard Savage with green hair. He's a psychiatrist who had gone through gamma radiation.
Oh, it's always gamma.
It is.
Gamma, it was the worst kind of radiation.
And the best for people like Hulk and the Fantastic Four. Yeah. All right, moving on.
Okay, so is that what we have out already? Like things that are in the theater now?
That we want to see.
Okay, so let's move on to soon to be released. I guess the first one coming out in just a few days is Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah, what do you think?
What do you think? I have a heart on right now. I'm a wreck. I love Star Trek.
Well, everybody loves Star Trek.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Certainly everybody watching this loves both the Cumberbatch and the Star Trek. That's not what I'm talking about.
I love what they did with the first Star Trek reboot that came out few years ago.
Yes, also by J.J. Abrams.
Really got into that. I thought that what he did was smart and compelling. It made me, you know, it's a nod to what happened. We're going to go in that direction, but it's not necessarily going to be exactly the way it was presented before because it's a new generation. And I don't know if this new movie will be as good, but I'm very excited to see it.
And I completely understand what you're saying. I am also my problem is that again, I see relatively few movies at the theater and the ones that I do see tend to be because the kids want to see it.
Right.
I see a ton of movies on my 900 cable channels and Netflix and Hulu Plus and YouTube and everything I can get on my television.
Right.
Which is great because it's the biggest television I've ever seen and I love it.
Right.
That said, I really want to see this one in the theater, but I won't do it unless I can get Linda to watch the first one, which we own on DVD, and she's hesitant because she loves the original series and she just thinks it looks like crap. And I can completely understand that. Mm. This is why I don't watch previews. I won't do it.
Nice tie-in.
I won't do it.
Right.
If I know who's in it or I might be interested, I close my fucking eyes and I sing the last 2 minutes of Crocodile Rock to myself.
Oh, man.
I close my eyes and I go, la, 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 because I don't want to fucking hear or see the three best scenes in the movie.
She should see it.
She should, and I'll find a way. I'll ply her with wine and fresh baked goods, and we'll watch it.
I've seen every single thing Star Trek.
Yeah, no, me too. Oh, have you listened? Have you listened? Let me talk for a second. I'm going to find this for you.
I have seen every single television show, every episode. I was in undergrad when Next Generation came to a close, and that was a big sort of party night where we said goodbye to them, and then they carried on in the cinema. I've seen all the originals. I've only read probably two or three books based on the original Star Trek characters. And I've even been to a Star Trek convention where I saw Patrick Stewart as the keynote speaker. And the lasting impression from that was a young actress stood up and said, you know, do you have any advice for me as an actor? And Patrick Stewart's sagely advice was, yes, I do. Always enjoy your auditions, because for most actors, it's the only acting they ever get to do.
It's great. He's a smart and funny man, the captain.
Yeah.
Did you see him on Extras? Mm-mm. Oh, you need to go back and watch that.
Right.
Extras is a very funny show. For those who were expecting another Office, it's not that. But it's very funny, and mostly for the guest stars.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Some of them. His is the best for me. Either his or Dame Diana Rigg, who loyal listeners know is just about my favorite person in the history of Hollywood. So my question for you about Star Trek is, you've seen everything.
I've seen all the Star Trek
episodes. Sure. Have you listened to an album entitled Your Last Battlefield by Angus Clark? One of the best guitar players you'll ever see. He is a lead guitar player for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra and a terrific band called Daredevil Squadron.
Eric worked for Trans-Siberian
Orchestra. I used to cook bread for those people.
Right.
There is an album by Angus Clark, who now also is on Broadway sometimes with...
And this ties into Star Trek?
Oh, you'll see. Who's now sometimes on Broadway with Rock of Ages. There's an album.
Terrible movie, by the way.
We'll talk about that. I quite liked it. There's an album by Angus Clark from Trans-Siberian Orchestra and Daredevil Squadron called Your Last Battlefield. And every song on it is inspired by or is meant to be listened to while you watch Star Trek.
Nice.
It is, dare I say, a work of genius.
Wow.
Angus Clark, check it out on CD Baby. The album is called Your Last Battlefield.
Nice.
All right.
All right. I have not.
All right. Well, you need to.
I have listened to.
Yes.
Brent Spiner's CD.
Oh.
Which is a crooner's CD.
Sure. And I assume you've listened to the various works by both Spock and Kirk.
Yes. Yeah. I have indeed. So I'm a big fan.
All right.
And I say that because I think Linda, as a big fan, would maybe
I agree.
Have an appreciation.
I agree, and I hope she listens to this because she will believe you before she believes me.
And there's some fun stuff. I mean,
she likes you better than
bones,
she likes me.
When the actor, it's always
yes.
Which is different from loving.
Well, yeah. Well, she loves me more.
Right. But the actor who plays bones. It's fun to watch him give an homage to DeForest Kelly.
While making it his own.
Right.
We were talking about him just the other day, as a matter of fact.
Which, by the way, I don't know if we're going to bring this up. Summer preview, Riddick has a new addition to the Riddick series.
And Carl Urban figures in this somehow?
He was in the last Riddick movie.
Saw Riddick. The Chronicles of Riddick, you're talking about.
The Chronicles of Riddick with
Dame Judi Dench. I did not see that. Carl Urban was in that?
Because I'm a sci-fi whore. And like I said, well, I'm that
Carl
guy
Urban
at the beach
has
looking for a treasure, and I mostly find bottle caps.
Sure.
As Eric said, this is a bottle cap.
Well, Carl Urban is a sci-fi cachet guy. I mean, he's apparently done a Chronicles of Riddick movie.
Yeah.
He did Bones, one of the most iconic characters in the history of science fiction. And Dredd. He was Dredd.
I haven't seen it. Are you talking about Dredd 3D, the new one?
Yes.
I want to see that. Is it worth my...
I have not seen it.
I want to see it.
I want to see it, too.
Just because, you know...
I hear it's good.
Stallone made almost all bad movies. But from my childhood...
Do we want to go down that wormhole? Because I'll go down a Stallone wormhole with you.
I've seen...
Name me the good movies that you think Stallone has made.
Rocky 1.
Yes.
Fists? Yeah. This is where he plays...
I don't even fucking know that movie.
This is where
Fists?
He is a union guy. He like organizes a union for like steel workers or something. And it's a riveting drama. And he's great in it. This is before Rocky. I mean, this is like... this is Diner period. Not Diner, but what's the Lords of Flatbush kind of era of Stallone movies. Rambo?
Fist.
Sorry.
Singular.
Fist.
The same year as my favorite Stallone movie, which is not good, and we'll get back to it. Rambo or the first one?
Rambo's good. The first one I think is good.
That's not Rambo.
Oh, First Blood. Sorry.
Thank
you're
you.
Right.
I mean, let's be dork clear.
No, you're right.
First Blood. I agree. Blood. That's a fantastic movie that if you haven't seen it and you really don't think much of Stallone, one of the ones you
much
have to see.
Much different than what I was saying, Rambo.
The same year, Rambo, or First Blood, as Rocky III. So during the decline of the Rocky films, he also made what, for me, is his second best movie.
First best?
Rocky.
Rocky, yeah. And he shot that in 28 days.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And, you know, he was a kid and he wrote it and he's got an Oscar for it. And, I mean, it's amazing. But if we're going to First Blood, we have to talk about the Dennehy, who's amazing. And we have to talk about my first introduction to the David Caruso experience, who was a colostomy bag, local sheriff's deputy who comes to a bad end.
Dennehy,
we need to talk about for a second, because that dude was a huge movie star.
Right.
For about 8 years before he became a huge Broadway star.
Right. In Long Day's Journey.
Well, and
among others. But
yeah,
I mean,
a ton of Arthur Miller stuff.
We got to say, as theater dorks, Long Day's Journey is...
an impossible play.
Kind of the American Hamlet. I mean, this is the American version of the measuring stick by which you're measured for your greatness.
Now, but here's the thing. If I can dork out and humble brag for a second. When I was cast as Hamlet, I was only excited. I knew I could play Hamlet. Do you know what I mean? I'd read it 100 times, and I understand that character.
Right.
I think that I understand Jamie, which is the character that was played in the movie by Jason Robards really very well, and really in the play that we're talking about by Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Right.
I think I understand that character, but I would only be terrified if I was cast as it.
Yeah. Well, there's not as much written about it. There's not as much...
I didn't read anything about Hamlet. I wouldn't. I didn't want to play Harold Bloom's Hamlet.
500 years.
Yeah. No, you're
it's
right.
It's there. You can't avoid it. It's living around us. Whereas
but all Jamie does is scream, cry, laugh, and moves from one to the other the entire time immediately. And I did not think it was possible to do it in such a way that was convincing.
I went to that play
because you have to be completely over the top. You have to be. There's no other way to do it.
Right.
And I just didn't think it was really possible.
And when they did it on Broadway, they had an offstage kitchen. Like there's a room that they built a set.
This was like 05.
See, right.
Like 04, 05.
And I literally, during the first part of the scene, I could see him offstage kind of in that room. And I'm like craning because I have this man crush.
Yeah.
I call him Phil right. Hoffman. I just love that guy.
He's great.
I absolutely think he's brilliant.
I saw the last performance from that cast. It was the benefit they did for the Actors Fund. Was that the one
the
you were
AIDS
at?
The AIDS one.
Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah, that's the one I went to as well.
That's the one I went to where they were raised.
Monday afternoon.
I paid $110 bucks for mezzanine seats. I mean, I had vertigo.
Right.
I was so high up. But anyways, Brian Dennehy, I mean, just...
So
this guy is...
He was great. Silverado, he's terrific.
Some of you younger people might remember him as...
Tommy Boy?
Well, yeah, the dad in Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
More younger dorks. He was in Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, that's right. Not younger.
Baz Luhrmann.
You know that's 15 years ago.
I mean, that's kind of ties into...
You know that's 15 years ago, right?
The Great Gatsby. We didn't bring that up. That's out. Great Gatsby's out.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second.
But
all right, back to Stallone. Tell me your other good Stallone movies, and I'll give you three.
When you're done
mentioning them, I'll give you three more.
I have.
You think he's not any good?
I think he said that.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me amend that. I put him in the Nicolas Cage category where when
Stallone, no, you didn't. At the time,
know,
you
know,
did
I'm,
not.
I'm saying, I'm
right.
amending. He does one thing very well. And
yes.
When he does that one thing... He's as good as anybody.
But I'm talking about actual quality movies. There are more than you think.
Rocky.
Yes.
First Blood. And I like Tango and Cash.
Okay. Tango and Cash, you have to mention. You're right. Tango and Cash is a strong movie. Largely because that's not Kurt Russell's Hamlet. But it's probably his Benedict. I mean,
Bam! He's
pretty great in that.
Tied that into the first episode.
Thank you. I would say Rocky II is really a wonderful movie.
Mm.
I did a whole thing in graduate school, a whole paper on aesthetics, on artistic aesthetics, and I used the Rocky franchise as my grayscale.
Okay, now let's stop.
Far to the
just
left.
Can
yes.
we stop for one second? Because
yes.
I understand aesthetics because in grad school I studied... One of my acting approaches
yes.
is practical aesthetics,
yes.
as put forth by the Atlantic Theater Company. But then everybody really understands what aesthetics means.
What we're talking about right here is quantifying the unquantifiable. What we're talking about here is a qualitative understanding of what is good versus what is ineffective or... passionately wrong.
A belief system.
Yes.
Or a belief.
But a belief that can, I don't know, that can, like I say, quantify the quality
right.
of
it's
something
steps
done.
You can follow to.
Yes.
What is it?
Anyway, something that is aesthetically pleasing or aesthetically good is different from, say, The Last Action Hero or... You know, it can be good on a number of different levels.
So the
what I did
of the Rocky
films, the first one is excellent. The second one is good. The third one is a guilty pleasure. Clubber Lang,
right? This is our
doing his thing
to Mr. T.
Yes. Well, no, Mr. T was around, but we'll talk about that.
Oh, so
Clubber Lang.
After
no, we'll talk about it in a second. I'm going through here.
Okay.
Number three was a guilty pleasure. Number four is, I don't know, pandering.
Yeah.
And number five is please.
Yeah.
I mean, please.
It was offensive.
Tommy Gunn, please.
He loses everything.
His name is Tommy Gunn, please. All right. So this is the kind of thing we're talking about here. Now, before Rocky, you can't really get into some stuff. There's Cannonball with the exclamation point. Never forget the exclamation point. Not a great movie. Death Race 2000. And this is – I'm utterly serious about this. Death Race 2000
yes.
is David Carradine, is Sylvester Stallone.
Is Sylvester Stallone's in that?
Yes. He's Machine Gun Joe Viterbo.
Holy shit.
You need to go back and watch Death Race 2000.
I will not.
Actually, the remake is pretty good for what it is. It's crap, but it's fun crap. And what I'm talking about, nobody did fun action crap as well as Sylvester Stallone. I honestly believe you cannot equate the stuff that the Governator did with what Stallone did. You can't. Stallone did it better. Much better. Bruce Willis is getting to the point now that he's 60 that he's doing fun action crap the way Stallone did 30 years ago. You know? The fun action stuff that Bruce Willis did earlier on.
As good as anything.
Better, because it had more... had ambition. Stallone's stuff didn't have ambition. Oh, it was there to just entertain.
Right.
Die Hard had ambition.
Like Cobra.
Right. Well, like Tango and Cash. I mean, they tried to make Tango and Cash with Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan, and it's one of the worst movies ever made. Do you know? The fun action comedy. I mean,
right.
Last Action Hero, the one he did with Damon Wayans was really very good. Written by the aforementioned Shane Black.
Oh, Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
And Damon Wayans.
Last Boy Scout. Terrific movie.
Right. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
That's entertaining crap, 10 years after Stallone patented it. Do you know?
Ah.
I think you can add to that The Expendables is still a really good action crap.
That's porn.
It is.
I mean, that's just...
You know what you forgot?
All-Star.
You know what you forgot, though?
No.
Copland. You forgot Copland.
No, you are absolutely right.
I am.
Yes.
We didn't talk about Cliffhanger. Totally worth watching.
Well, we've talked about Cliffhanger. I know. In the past.
Yes, we have. Totally worth watching. And now we're going to talk about The Guilty Pleasure, Stallone, which is worth watching. We're talking about...
The comedies?
Sort of. We're talking Over the Top.
Yes.
We're talking Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Let me turn my camera around.
Yes. We're talking Rhinestone.
Oh, Dolly Parton.
We're talking Victory, the only movie co-starring Pele and...
Michael Caine.
And Michael Caine and Sylvester Stallone.
I have to put Victory in a different category.
And we need to...
Not even a co-star. He's a...
That movie does not get made without Sylvester Stallone.
It's an ensemble.
If Sylvester Stallone is not in that movie, it does not get made. It was a fun movie.
Like, is that...
Nighthawks. Nighthawks we're talking about. Billy D. Williams.
And, no, who's a bad guy? What's it, Rucker Hauer?
Yes.
I love the ending of that.
Everybody loves Rucker Hauer.
In a terrible wig doing the dishes.
Yes.
Rucker Hauer sneaks in. He turns everybody
loves Rucker Hauer. Everybody. Nice. Rucker Hauer is an under-remembered movie star. That guy was a star. Lady Hawk. The scene in Lady Hawk where he's talking to Matthew Broderick and he gives that long monologue sitting against the tree. Fantastic acting. He apparently wrote his own monologue.
He's writing his own stuff.
He apparently wrote his monologue Listen. Drink your beer.
Let me finish.
He apparently wrote his own monologue about tears in the rain in Blade Runner. Now, while you chew on that, realize that's not his first language. And then let's talk about him writing that monologue.
Mm.
All right. So, we're still talking Sylvester Stallone. Now, I have a defendable guilty pleasure with Oscar. It's crap, but I saw it with my older brother, and I never saw anything with my older brother. I think the new Rambo in 2008 was very good. It was a very good crap action movie. It's a very good crap action movie.
Yeah.
But here's what we really need to do, is we need to remember that Sylvester Stallone sang the theme song to Paradise Alley. And it's the funniest 3 minutes of celluloid you will ever be able to find.
Okay.
That is strong.
Sly, forgive me.
Sly Stallone has a strong, strong resume.
You'll be when he dies, it'll be a big moment at the Oscars.
We'll be gone long before him.
But all the steroids.
Yeah, this guy's going to last forever.
He's like a mummy.
Expendables 3 is announced and will be out soon.
Who's the new one? They always add in some other, like...
I don't know. It is just announced.
Style
right now, all that's there is we have rumors of Wesley Snipes.
I mean, really? I mean, it is, right?
And Jackie Chan.
The Expendables is the Hollywood Squares of action stars.
Better. I swear to God.
It's like the same thing.
The only people who are in these movies are people who deserve to be in these movies. They're not going out and finding Cynthia Rothrock. You know, they're not going out and finding... who are the other, like, very low B-list action stars?
Yeah, no, these are only A-list action stars that are washed up, though.
The one that I want is Sammo Hung. But do you know who is the subject of the single best Wikipedia page in the history of the world?
Give me your subjective answer.
My factual answer is The Great Dolph Lundgren. If you have not read his Wikipedia page,
MIT student Dolph Lundgren.
Not just that. Keep going. No, I'm just, the guy is real. And go read the weird-ass James Bondian fucking life this guy's led.
Oh, really?
Go look up some Dolph Lundgren, and then follow it up with an in-depth look at the Wikipedia page for Julia Child. And then you're done. You're done. Finished. All right, so moving on from Sylvester Stallone.
Everything in moderation, including moderation.
What the hell were we talking about before we were talking about Sylvester Stallone?
We're 15 minutes in here. All right. So, summer movie preview.
Yes.
I'm curious, real quick. Yes or no?
Yes, absolutely.
No, absolutely.
I've seen all five previous ones, the last two with the kids. And
with the kids.
Yes. And we'll take the kids this one. I am an actual fan of Dwayne The Rock Johnson in film.
I like him.
So you add him to something that already has people that I really enjoy. I really enjoy Ludacris on film. I do. I enjoy the guy. Yeah. You know who I love?
Vin Diesel?
Yes. I love the guy. Mm. Have you seen Find Me Guilty?
No.
One of the final films of the best director in film history, Sidney Lumet.
I don't know.
What you don't know Sidney Lumet?
No. I mean, I might know.
Dog Day Afternoon.
Yes.
Serpico.
Yes.
Network.
Yes.
Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
No. I've heard the name.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, and you haven't seen it.
Maybe I have seen that then.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, Ethan Hawke.
Yes!
Albert Finney.
I've seen it, the two brothers.
Yes.
Yes, I have seen it. Oh,
Sidney Lumet.
And you see Marissa Tomei naked.
Yeah, often in the last 10 years. And I'm not ragging on that. That's amazing.
No, that is a really, really good movie.
Yeah. That's Sidney Lumet. He directed the original 12 Angry Men. Failsafe.
White version.
Yeah, Failsafe. He's an amazing director.
That's the one with Jodie Foster, right?
No. I'm talking about a movie that was done live for television back in the 50s as well. And then it was redone by Clooney '99.
Who was in Failsafe?
The original?
Yeah, was that the nuclear movie?
Yes.
With, it's going to kill me when you say his name.
The original one?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm thinking of the right guy, like, you know, one of the best actors, Jack Lemmon?
Yes, Jack Lemmon was in the remake. It was Walter Matthau, Dan O'Herlihy,
Walter Matthau,
Fritz Weaver, Henry Fonda, Larry Hagman.
Henry Fonda, the Fonzie.
Yeah. So, Dom DeLuise. These are all in the original one. Dana Elkar, who you might know from MacGyver.
Oh. The chick?
No. The bald boss.
Did he go on to do the Stargate movies too?
No. No. That was Don S. Davis, who was actually the stand-in for Dana Elkar on MacGyver.
Let's see how similar they look.
It is. He was the stand-in on MacGyver. Don S. Davis got his career started in Hollywood with a walk-on part in a Spielberg movie.
It's so impressive how you remember this.
No, this is he got his start with a walk-on part, and I think it was Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and then. During a delay in shooting, he was one of the only actors on set that day. During a delay in shooting, while they were setting up another shot, Spielberg asked him to sit in and be their fifth in a poker game that was Spielberg, Scorsese, Coppola, and Lucas.
What? Why were they all there?
Because they were best friends from film school in early times in their career. There are great stories about the four of them breaking the
like
shark and Jaws. No, there are great stories about the four of them breaking the shark and Jaws, too, if you go back and look. And that's why the shark never worked. But at the end of the day, after Davis's filming was all done, Spielberg says to him, all right, I'll see you tomorrow. And he says, no, I think my shooting's all done. And he goes, I'll see you tomorrow. And he came in on the whole rest of the shoot. And everything Spielberg directed or produced from then on had a part for Don S. Davis.
Super dork.
Well, Don used to teach at my undergrad.
Oh.
Great dead guy. He's now passed on.
All right. So, on my list, I have Hangover Part 3.
Now, they've stolen my money already. I'm all in. I have to see it.
Yeah. I can see this on video though. I don't care if I see it in the movie.
Well, I met the writers on this one. I worked for them for a few days.
So that's why you feel like you have to see the movie?
I have to see them because we've seen the first two, my girlfriend and I, and I'm sure I'll chuckle once or twice.
A big handful of boogers, though.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, the first one was brilliant.
The writers wrote and directed that 21 and Over thing that was shot here a couple years ago.
I've seen it on the audition boards.
Yeah. I was in the casting room for that whole thing.
Oh,
it was interesting.
So, yeah, whatever. And I just really...
Yes.
Maybe not briefly, but this is something that's come up in the last decade or so. There is this phrase of, I can't wait and see it on video.
Yes.
There's some movies that you have to see in the movie because they're in the theaters because they're so big.
Right.
The only thing that's good about them is the sort of expanse.
Right.
The girth.
I fight that now for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One is I have a really pretty good sound system in my house.
Right.
And number two is I've yet to see a movie theater that has as clear and sharp an image as my television does.
Hmm. Now, another new thing.
It's not as big, clearly.
Right.
But, I mean, I didn't see Life of Pi in the theater, and I wanted to. I wanted to very badly.
Right, I didn't either, and I did.
But when I see it on my TV, it's going to be clearer and more breathtaking than it would have been at the theater.
I did see it on my TV, which isn't, you know, it's sort of the beginning of the high def era flat screen. So it's not nearly as good as the new ones, but still, the story is fun. I wish I would have seen it in the theater just to get that, you know, the hugeness of the ocean. But
I wish I'd have forced the kids to come see it. Because I do that once in a while. I'm like, well, they say, what are we going to see? And I'm going, well, we're going to see Hugo. And they go, what's that? And, you know, blah, blah. And by the end of it, it's like, oh, my gosh. Right. And I'm going, I'm sure that one of these times I'm gonna force them to go see something that's just terrible. And I'm going to be apologizing to them until they're 90.
I'm surprised Hugo wasn't that. For me, I was so hugely disappointed.
I loved it.
In Hugo.
I loved it.
So is there, these are all May 24th movies still, like epic coming out. I want to take Ella to that. This is based on the children's book, The Leaf Men and the Brave Good Bugs by Will Joyce.
I've never, okay.
And, you know, it's.
What's this one called?
It's called Epic. So it's a cartoon.
It's not on my list.
It has a bunch of voice talent, Beyonce and others, all the.
You're not helping your case here.
All the people you might expect.
Any actors?
There are. I didn't put them down.
It's all right.
I didn't think it was important.
No, it's not.
I mean, there isn't going to be anything here that's challenging. But it'll be pretty to look at, and I think it'll have a good a story. It'll teach my little girl something.
Well, there are two movies that are out now in various places that I'm really curious about. We'll call it three. One is an action movie called Assault on Wall Street that is clearly going to be terrible, but I kind of want to see it because I kind of want to assault Wall Street.
Right.
So I'd like to see what that is.
And this is like a movie documentary?
Oh, no. No, this is like bad action shoot 'em up movie.
Oh.
Like literally an assault on Wall Street.
Like terrorizing Wall Street?
Yeah.
Took our money. Like
I say, I don't watch previews, so I assume it's the one we'll talk about in a second about the attack on the White House.
Yeah.
But there's also a terrific movie that I saw 4 or 5 months ago called The Iceman that is in limited release right now, starring Michael Shannon and Chris Evans. And I loved it. So I really wholeheartedly recommend it. And Winona Ryder in the best thing I've seen her in since Little Women.
I dig Michael Shannon. Young actors.
He ain't young, but I love him.
Oh, really?
No, Michael Shannon, he's older than me.
I mean, maybe I know.
He's not an old man, but he's older than me.
I know his work, and I just don't know his name.
Oh.
Is that the case?
Yeah, you definitely know Michael Shannon. Have you seen... let's talk about him a little bit.
Winona Ryder, huh? You know the last thing I saw her in that I loved her in?
No.
Star Trek.
That's right. I forgot she was terrific in that. Michael Shannon is about to play General Zod in the Man of Steel movie. But did you see Premium Rush last year?
No, I don't watch bike movies.
That's all right. He was quite good in it. Did you see Take Shelter a couple years ago, which was a terrific independent film? Machine Gun Preacher was also very good.
There was something about Machine Gun Preacher. One of our directors coming up actually
did that one?
That movie.
Well, his first movies were like, he had a small part in The Woodsman and Let's Go to Prison, he was hilarious in. But the first big role for him was in Bug. Have you seen that?
No.
It's Tracy Letts' play that he did the original cast of. And then when they did the movie, which was directed by William Friedkin, which is frickin' huge.
This is a play, Bugs.
Bug.
Bug.
Just Bug by Tracy Letts, who has done every frickin' big movie from the last 5 years.
Is it with a S or a Z?
Letts?
Letts.
S. Okay. You'll like him. He's terrific. But Bug is Michael Shannon and Ashley Judd and I want to say Harry Connick Jr.? It's a Harry Connick Jr. It's a terrific performance and a well-made movie, but it's not an easy watch and it's not fun, you know? Mm. It's one of those.
They're not fun, but I'm glad when I watch them when they emotionally wreck me for a little while.
But you need to see Take Shelter from a couple years ago. That's really an impressive, relatively low-budget movie with Michael Shannon and Jessica Chastain and Shea Whingham. And it's funny and weird and...
Right.
Anyway, he's terrific. He's in Mud that just came out, but he's the lead in The Iceman. And I think if people see it, it'll make him a star. But I think Man of Steel will put him on everybody's
That's coming
thing.
Up. Let's talk about Man of Steel. Let's jump around a little bit. Because Man of Steel is not until June. June 14th is the release date.
I'm in. They've got my money.
You know, and this is, you know, Bryan Singer tried to reboot this, and he failed miserably. And so now we're trying again, and it looks more promising.
He failed on X-Men, too, in my opinion. But
right. Well, X-Men wasn't as bad as,
no,
in my opinion.
No, it was not, as the Superman Returns. Yeah, that was just awful.
I love that Kevin Spacey was in it.
I guess. I mean,
but whatever.
He wasn't good. He's actually reinvented himself in the last 4 or 5 years doing nothing but biopics. Biopic after biopic after biopic after biopic. And he's terrific
Netflix,
in all of them.
A very brilliant
House of Cards, series. A great remake of a good BBC show.
What do you think about this Man of Steel thing? I mean, you don't watch previews, so I mean...
I don't. I have, from time to time, allowed a scene or two to get into my noggin, and I've seen a couple things from this. It looks like a Zack Snyder movie. I mean, it looks like 300, or, you know, it's got the beautiful visuals. It's beautiful.
Not the CGI.
Not yet. The only thing I have a problem with before I see it, and I have problems with things before I see them, just like all of us, is that I don't fucking need to see Baby Man, Super Baby. I don't need to see Super Baby. I don't need to see Super Kid. I don't need to see Super Kansas. I don't need any of that shit. We know. Everybody knows. A five-year-old knows who Superman is. It doesn't matter where he came from. It just doesn't fucking matter. He flies. He has heat vision, and he always does the right thing. That's all we fucking need to know. I don't need to see his dad die again. With Spider-Man, I don't need to see his Uncle Ben get shot again. We know with great power comes great responsibility. If you want to make it for an 8-year-old who doesn't know, I don't want to see that movie. I want to see a movie that a 36-year-old can enjoy.
Because it's all about you.
Yes.
Well, listen.
I'm spending a ton of cash.
I have watched the previews. I don't know what the movie's like. It's very promising.
Yeah.
But all the things that you say you don't want to see, it has a relevance.
Yes, it has irrelevance.
No, it doesn't have irrelevance. It has relevance. They're building this up for... I mean, it's sort of the same thing they tried... They introduced in the first Superman with...
Marlon Brando and Susanna York.
Right, and what's his... And Christopher Reeves.
Reeve.
I like to pluralize
that. Well, he was like three men in one, it's true.
You know, where you're coming to this world... with extraordinary powers.
Yeah.
They will hate you for it.
Yeah. Can they do that in 45 seconds?
But they
yes.
And I think
is it going to take 25 minutes? Might, yes.
They might. But, I mean, they show this guy as an outsider. All the previews show him as, we're going to spend probably 45 minutes to 50.
God, I hope not.
Showing him as an outsider, as not.
I know, hope. The great
not
thing about.
To not be Superman.
The great thing about Superman 2, where we last met General Zod, the bad guy from this movie,
right,
is they didn't do that shit. You know, they didn't need to. It starts with the bad guy.
You put Russell Crowe
there's
as
the bad
Jor-El,
guy.
You got to give him screen time.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do.
Russell Crowe. Exactly. You don't cast him.
So, I mean,
Russell Crowe is not Marlon Brando, and you can't escape that comparison. By the way, Marlon Brando made something like $25 million on the first Superman movie. That's 1978 money.
Wow.
13.5%, I think,
wow,
of the take. Every movie he ever did, he made something like 13% of the gross.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like the John Ogden of acting.
Yeah.
I will get paid more than anybody. And if anybody gets a higher contract, you have to then...
No, it's this much. Plus, he always used the same percentage. And according to his autobiography, which is totally worth reading, by the way, it's...
When we go see this at our Before 12s.
Yes.
We'll see if your tune changes at all.
I'd love for my tune to change. I'd love for it to change my mind.
We haven't even broken out of May. We have Hangover, Epic, Before Midnight, blah, blah, blah. That's, you know, a third part of the Ethan Hawke,
Midnight Dupuy series of movies, Before movies.
These two people who just can't get together.
Right.
You know, and
I think the next one needs to just be called Before.
Or 7-Up.
Right. I love those movies.
We could just follow these guys through, you know, every 10 years we see how they don't get it on.
Yeah, it's basically a very, very long version of Same Time Next Year. Let's move on.
So at the end of May we have After Earth, the Smith Boys together
right.
again.
After I don't
Pound
get
of
it.
Flesh movie.
Why would you let your kid be in movies?
Will Jaden, you know, or Will and Jaden Smith, blah blah blah. Interesting.
Oh, but let's
directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
Why is that interesting?
Because all of his movies have sucked since six.
Not only have they sucked, and let's be clear, this is what I'm about to say is a huge achievement. Every single movie has been a small step down. Sixth Sense was great.
Sixth Sense, which was
Unbreakable was good. The next one was a little worse. The next one was a little worse. The next one was a little worse. And
until we get to Airbender.
It bottomed out at Airbender.
Oh,
so now, what the hell is going to happen with this thing?
But the thing is, he wrote all of those other movies. Wrote and directed every single one of them. This is the very first time.
He's directing someone else's script?
Ever directed somebody else's script. So maybe we have some hope here.
I don't know.
I mean, I'll see it because, I'm the disgusting guy on the beach with my
I guess.
Detector.
I mean, I'll see it too. But this is for me.
But, I Am Legend, so you know,
I
Will
didn't.
Smith can get me.
I
like Men in Black, so...
I think Will Smith's a very talented guy. I just don't think this is going to be any good.
Fair,
I also hate kids in movies.
Enough.
I hate kids in movies. I think not only does it ruin kids...
And
it does. It ruins children.
This is a kid's movie, too. I mean,
this is a
kid's
movie.
This is about him.
Yeah.
It's about Jaden Smith.
If you're going to get a good performance from a kid, by and large, what you're doing is you are abusing that kid emotionally.
Right.
To get that performance. And I don't grok that. No. Goodbye.
All right. So, that was the Lazy Muse, Episode 8, Summer Movie Preview, Part 1. I'm Jimmy G. You can find me at The Lazy Muse on Twitter.
And I'm Eric Gratt, and you can find me on Twitter at Totally Kidding and at PineTarPress.com under the heading Obstructed Review.
Yes, watch out for those. Keep an eye on those articles because they're all great. I love them all.
Thank you. Thank
you. If you want to find us, give us compliments, or tell us how terrible we are, you can go to the very lazy news@gmail.com. We have a Facebook page.
Which I just found out about.
Facebook.com/thelazynews. And please, go to iTunes. Subscribe. Comment. Give us some stars.
You
Doesn't
comment, you get mentioned,
That's
people.
Right. We'll drop your name. That'll be a new segment. The name drop. Anyways, I'm Jimmy G.
I'm Eric.
Thank you for stopping by. We'll talk to you later.
Try.